Joining us now is attorney Barry Knott, who is the receiver for Success Village between Bridgeport and Stratford. And attorney Knott, I am so glad to be talking to you this morning. Thank you so much for your time.
It's my pleasure.
First of all, attorney Knott, tell us, have you been a receiver for a property before?
No. Typically, a trustee is appointed by a bankruptcy court to take over oversight of a failing company under Chapter 11. That's a similar type of fiduciary, but that's not what we're talking about here. The statute under which I was appointed has been rarely, if ever, used in Connecticut before. I have been a fiduciary appointed by courts as trustees for incapacitated people and things like that, but never a receiver for a piece of property of this size and magnitude.
And so I've done a little bit of research on you, Attorney Knott, and my understanding is you've been practicing out of Stratford for a couple of decades now. Why do you think Judge Radcliffe felt you were the best suited to handle the receivership for Success Village?
Well, I've been practicing now. Next Tuesday will be the 50th anniversary of my admission to the Connecticut Bar.
Congratulations.
October 8th. And I've been practicing in this area the whole time. I've known Judge Radcliffe as a result of appearing before him in many contested, usually zoning appeals, because that's the type of stuff that I usually do, and that's the type of matters he usually handles. So he has become familiar with me. The lawyers in the case are also familiar with me, and I worked well, especially with the Bertram office over the years in some very complicated matters. So I think my name was raised as a possibility, and no one had any objection to it, and I think that's how it happened.
Well, my understanding, Attorney Knott, is that you hit the ground running. As soon as you got the receivership, I spoke with Tom Gaudette, who is the chief administrative officer for the city of Bridgeport. And he said, well, I had never met Attorney Knott before. This man wasted no time getting things done. My understanding is you changed the locks. You are working on keeping at least the temporary situations in place, and you're trying to figure out the boiler situation. But let's talk about the first hiccup that we realized last week, which was that you were not getting all access to the bank account information and the assets for Success Village. Residents were telling me that it's because some of those accounts were under a different name, possibly the current president of the board, Ty Bird. Is that true?
I don't know that yet. I just got access to the Bank of America accounts late yesterday afternoon. The volume of information is significant. I have not had an opportunity to complete my review of the Bank of America accounts. I have received anecdotal information of other accounts being in existence. And at this point, I have to investigate those claims. But as far as I know, right now, I have access to Bank of America, which were the major accounts which being used by prior management over there. And there's no money. And I mean, there's $300 in one account and $3,400 in another account.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Attorney Knott. So I'm glad you brought up the amounts, because I know we reported on that last week that, I mean, there's pennies. It's nothing. And what's shocking about this, and I'm no mathematician, but my listeners know that I've tried to do quick math, and the amount of money that should have been saved in there, I mean, it's more than six figures, obviously. But when you're collecting $500 on average from 924 units on a monthly basis, how in the world do we barely have $4,000 among the accounts? That doesn't add up for me.
I have no idea. I mean, there's cash flow of about $600,000 a month between the residents, essentially just the residents' rental payments is over $600,000 a month. So, I mean, I don't get it, and it's going to take a while to get into it. I'm hiring an accountant to do a forensic audit, find out where the money went. I've engaged another management company, which is taking over next week. I've hired boiler people that have already started working on the premises. We're going to get heat and hot water on a temporary basis using three of the old burners, 1, 4, and 5. 1 for hot water, 4 and 5 for heat. Mack Industrial and Edgerton Inc., HVAC companies, believe they can get those three boilers up and running again, subject to approval by the local and state building and boiler inspectors, obviously. And that'll be on a short-term basis. That'll provide heat and hot water on a short-term basis, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, maybe longer. But in the meantime, we've ordered a couple of new boilers to come in from out of state. They've already been paid for. They're being delivered. And we expect them to be here by the end of October, the middle of November. Once they are on site, they will replace the old boilers that we will have gotten up and running, hopefully. And that will solve our interim term heat and hot water problem for the folks over there. Ultimately, I would like to see a long-term permanent fix. However, that's going to require many millions of dollars, which we don't have lined up yet. That'll be like phase 2, phase 3.
Okay. So we have attorney Barry Knott here, who is the receiver. A judge ordered that he take over the finances and essentially the management of the complex, the Success Village complex between Bridgeport and Stratford. There's more than 2,000 people living in this 924-unit complex. And again, not a mathematician here, attorney Barry Knott, but when I do the quick math here, let's say $500 for 924 units, you're looking at $462,000. So with six figures on a monthly basis coming in, I'm curious, and I don't know if you can answer this, but wouldn't Bank of America need to be held somewhat accountable for seeing that kind of money disappear? I mean, how do you have, you know, only $4,000, give or take, in this account? Like, no one was seeing that massive amounts of money were just being taken out? Or do they just sort of like not ask questions where that money is going? Like, did they believe the money was actually going towards the boilers?
It's too soon for me to be able to answer that question because I just received access to the Bank of America records late yesterday afternoon. And we had to go to court to get that. We had Bank of America in court on Wednesday afternoon because they wouldn't cooperate in providing me with the records. That's now been straightened out by Judge Radcliffe in a hearing. I think it was Wednesday afternoon. And,
right.
As a result of that, I was able to get a meeting with the manager yesterday. Very nice folks over there at Bank of America, but they didn't have a lot of information to give me, and they did provide me with access to the accounts, which I have not had an opportunity to review it yet. I'm going to be doing that with our forensic accounting firm.
And again, I'm no attorney, so I'm not trying to put things out there, but wouldn't the bank in some regard need to ask those questions? You know, and again, I'm not talking about this situation since you like you said, it's very early on to speculate, but wouldn't banks be held somewhat accountable to make sure they know with mass amounts of money being taken out on a monthly basis, or even the idea of changing the name on an account that is for a property? I mean, would that be the responsibility of the bank to monitor that?
Well, I'm not confident to answer that question, actually, Melissa, because I'm not a bank lawyer. I've never been a bank lawyer. I'm not familiar with banking laws. I would not want to say one way or the other whether there was any impropriety at the feet of Bank of America or anybody else at this stage of the game. It's too soon for me to be able to comment intelligently. Rumors are all over the place. When I walk into my office every morning, there's 24 telephone messages that have come in through the night from people who are residents over there that we sift through. And I've heard rumors of all kinds of untoward activity having occurred over there, none of which I've been able to verify and none of which I will comment on because it's rumor, speculation, surmise, et cetera.
Sure.
So as a lawyer, it would be inappropriate me to comment on any entity's legal responsibility other than persons or entities which I represent.
Yeah, that makes sense. What is your goal with this role as the receiver, Attorney Barry Knott? If we can close on saying, what would you like to see happen in this role now as the receiver?
What I want to see happen, I'm 77 years old. I want to die with Success Village having heat and hot water on a long-term basis. That's what I want to do. In the meantime, we've got a short-term solution for the next couple of months. After that, with the new boilers on site, we will have a long-term solution. However, I don't think the long-term solution that will be manifest by the two boilers that we're bringing in is the best solution. It's a good long-term solution if we're going to go along kind of the way we've been going along for the last 60 years. But I think really what needs to happen over there is that each individual building needs to have its own boiler. And we've got plans, we've already working on plans whereby a whole new mechanism of HVAC service provision can be made by individual boilers at each individual building. And there's 97 buildings over there. I mean, the place is huge, 97 buildings. Having one boiler room for 97 buildings is kind of antiquated technology, and we'd like to get it into the 21st century so that 50 years from now, these people won't be having the same problems they're having now. It'll greatly enhance the values of their units. That's really what needs to be done. However, we've gotten estimates of $15 to $20 million for this long-term solution with 97 individual boilers. And that's a lot of money. The association doesn't have that kind of money, nor will it ever. So we're trying to obtain grants from various state and federal entities who might be willing to fund something like this. And that's, we're in the exploratory area of that search right now. And that remains to be seen. But that's the plan.
Attorney Barry Knott, really quick, how long do you get to be receiver for?
Till the judge tells me he doesn't want me anymore.
Fair enough.
I think it's going to be a while.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
It's an overwhelming task. It's unbelievable.
Do you have a backup? Not to be morbid, but do you have a backup? Does the judge have a backup if you get sick or if you're out of town, if something happens? Do you have like a backup system for Success Village?
I think I'm the only one that's thought of it that far, and you're the only person to whom I've articulated that.
You're the guy.
On my part. Yeah.
You're the guy.
I don't think anybody's thinking about another receiver right now.
Yeah. No. We know that you are the man for the job. I know that Judge Radcliffe feels that way, and so does the city of Bridgeport, the town of Stratford. And honestly, I have heard from dozens and dozens of residents who also are so glad that you have taken over. And so, Attorney Barry Knott, I know this is not the last time you and I will be speaking on WACC's Melissa in the Morning. I thank you so much for having the initial conversation. You will definitely be hearing from me.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. And cheers to all.
Thank you so much. Again, Attorney Barry Knott here on WACC.